10 of the nation's leading economists say there's no time to waste when it comes to cutting America's budget deficits.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, an urgent call today for action on the long-term budget deficits in the U.S. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up. The Dow's up 45 points at 12,131. The Nasdaq up 0.3%. The S&P 500 up 0.2%. Portugal's prime minister has resigned after his plan to deal with that country's debt was rejected by lawmakers. Investors have responded by making it even more expensive for Portugal to borrow money. Now to the debt situation in this country. There's an op-ed today in Politico from 10 former chairmen of the President's Council of Economic Advisers, people from both sides of the political spectrum. They say the nation's long-term budget deficits are a severe problem that call for prompt action by Congress and the president. Diane Swonk is chief economist at Mesirow Financial. She's with us live now, as she is every Thursday from Chicago. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So yet another reminder about our big long-term budget problems. Any chance lawmakers in Washington will listen to these economists?
They're not showing any chance of it at the moment. They're still flitting around the edges thinking of $60 billion cut here, which seems big, but we need trillions of dollars cut, and they're not dealing with the long-term problems that we face in the United States, where the American public has also not come to accept what the real problem is, and that's the third rail of American public politics, everything from agricultural subsidies to entitlements.
The American public hasn't come to accept that. What is it that the American public, that we, the American public, don't seem to understand about those problems?
Well, I think the issue is that they think they can, first of all, cut discretionary spending, and that's it. The reality is that the American public doesn't understand that they're going to have to give something up, either in taxes or in some of their benefits, to deal with these long-term problems. These are not paid for. The entitlements that they thought were paid for are not funded. And so if they believe that, it's a lie. And until we deal with the reality of the situation and get some politicians with the political will to tell the American public the truth, we're not going to deal with the situation.
Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesirow Financial. Thanks as always.
Thank you.
Now to Marketplace's coverage of the human and economic tragedy in Japan. Toyota said today that it will halt production at some North American plants because of supply shortages. Other Japanese firms are having similar problems. And as Marketplace's Rob Schmitz reports now from Tokyo, some of those companies are looking overseas for parts.
A couple of decades ago, most automakers and big electronics manufacturers assembled their products in Japan. Now much of it's done in China, but custom-made and higher-tech parts requiring more skill to manufacture are still made in Japan. Since the earthquake, though, Japan's had a hard time making and shipping these products abroad, and at least one country wants to fill that gap.
Chinese companies are now able to make high-quality, precision products.
Japanese supply chain expert Toshinori Nimoto.
So I think they'll grasp this opportunity, and they'll now become an even bigger part of the supply chain.
It's already happening, says Nimoto. Nissan has already started switching its precision parts suppliers to China. Nimoto says once they move for a disruption like this, the big companies aren't likely to return to Japan, even after things return to normal. It's an industry worth billions, billions that Japan stands to lose. In Tokyo, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong. By CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight nearly 500 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best. The Knowledge Effect.
Now to that $39 billion AT&T plan to take over T-Mobile, the one that would reduce competition in the world of cell phone service. Well, for some reason, it's got our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell, very excited. He joins us now. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Jeremy.
So why are you so excited about this big AT&T T-Mobile deal that we found out about this week? I mean, everybody says it's going to be terrible for consumers.
Well, but it's good news for the economy. I mean, think about it this way, Jeremy. You know, CEOs for the past couple of years have been scared. They've been in a survival mode. Well, they're now leaving the bunker. They're willing to take a risk. They're going to, you know, buy a business. They're going to expand. And so, you know, the famous phrase of John Maynard Keynes, the animal spirits of capitalism, at least in the executive suite, are being unleashed.
Well, why are they being unleashed right now? We've still got a lot of uncertainty in places like Libya and Japan. Why are CEOs so ready to jump into the marketplace again?
Well, the signs have been growing that this economy is doing better. For example, the Conference Board runs a survey of CEO confidence, and it's been improving. And KPMG did a survey taking a look at CEOs, and they're more interested in mergers and acquisitions. So I think it is a time to consolidate your business, to expand your business if that's what you want to do. And if the economy is getting better, it's a safe forecast to say interest rates are going to go up, and therefore an acquisition would be more expensive down the road.
And what do these mergers and acquisitions, if we're about to get into a big M&A boom, what does this mean for the rest of us?
Well, we have a lot of experience with this. And what we know is that it means in companies where you have the mergers, there's going to be a lot of job losses.
Right.
Because you're going to get rid of redundant positions, right? That's just what happens. And you have to justify the costs and all the efficiencies. And then in certain industries where you're having a lot of consolidation, you're sort of eliminating the competition, again, a lot of job losses. If you take a look from the perspective of the overall economy, however, it's that, you know, famous phrase by Joseph Schumpeter, creative destruction. I think we're seeing more growth. I think we're seeing more opportunity. So overall, job creation. But if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, job losses.
Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks a lot.
And finally, we learned a bit about Goldman Sachs CEO Lloyd Blankfein when he testified yesterday at an insider trading trial. He said he often reads the Wall Street Journal, but not always. He said he prefers voicemail to email. And he described his bank's willingness to trade with its clients as, quote, a service we do for the world, end quote. He then quickly changed that to a service we do for our clients. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson, on Twitter at Jeremy Hobson, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
When you think of Petco, the pet supply store, this is probably not what comes to mind.
It is the size of a Blockbuster video. It is very trendy, upbeat. Your sales staff is in jeans and really cool t-shirts.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, taking Fido upmarket next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.